We are on the book of Jude in your Bible, and you do well if you turn to the book of Jude in your Bible. You do not hear many preachings on the book of Jude because it's a very dramatic, a very forceful letter, very brief letter of the apostle to the church. Now, exhorting his readers to contend earnestly for the faith, in verse 4, if you look in Jude, in verse 4, Jude introduces the reason for them to take such a stand. For there are certain men crept in awareness who were before of all ordained to this condemnation, ungodly man, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the Bible says certain men have crept in and noticed. They sneaking into the church. And what they did, they deny, they were ungodly, of course, and they deny the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ according to that verse 4, and we deal with that in our last study. Jude also writes of these men that they were long ago marked out for this condemnation. And I want to clarify that verse. Look at verse 4 again. They said, certain men crept in awareness, or unnoticed, who were before of all ordained for this condemnation. And I read some Christian material, and some might infer that Jude meant that these men were predestined to act in this way. Now, I want you to read English. I don't going to express you my Greek language or whatever. No, I want you just to read English and see what God said. And I had this discussion about 1976, something like that, with a group of super reformers in a big 2000 assembly in the East Coast. And they only came to me with their hymn book and their confessions of faith in the back to prove it. But nobody had the Bible. But I just want you to read it, how simple it is. Look at what they say. Certain men crept in awareness who were before of all ordained to this condemnation. There is no period in after the word ordained. Is that right? Rather, there is a direct object form. All right? You remember that grammar. Now, Jude did not write that these men were ordained to become apostates as though God were responsible for their sin. See, when you think that they were ordained to do wrong, then God is responsible for their sin. Adam thought that and Eve thought that. They became apostate because they willfully turn away from the truth. But what is ordained here is their punishment, that those who turn from God will not escape the righteous condemnation of God. That's what it is, all right? That is why my title of this sermon is Reminders of God's Righteous Condemnation. It's not a question, will God do this or the other? It is a fact. If you willfully ignore God, you will receive God's condemnation. Now, to reinforce this point, Jude reminds his reader of three examples in which the ungodly did not escape God's righteous condemnation. Example number one is verse 5, Israel in the wilderness. Example number two is the angels who sin, and that's verse 6. And then example number three is the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. So God made a statement that the ungodly men were ordained to condemnation, and God gave an example of three examples how that condemnation is for sure. Israel in the wilderness, God give you the angels who sin, and then God says Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, Jude making a statement, and he said, and I'm going to remind you history about it. So it is not just something that is theologically minded for the intellect. It is actual reality. All right. In this study, we shall briefly review what is known about these three case histories. That's what I call them, case histories of divine judgment, and draw some points that can be gleaned as we study them. So we're going to study verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. And we're going to develop these righteous condemnation of God. So rather than confronting you with a negative message, this is all positive, because God is saying beforehand, now this could happen to you if you disobey God. And in other words, God is very fair about this. All right? Let's study together. Israel in the wilderness. You know this story. About 10 people left Judah, went into Egypt. They became a 600,000 men population. And then after 430 years, depend where you start in counting. There is 400 in the Bible and 430, depends on your departure, how you count it. Then God liberated them. And God said, follow me. And God put a leader, Moses, and move on. But you know, those people die. Only their children made it. Let's study this. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, in other words, moved the people out, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Now, let's go to the Bible and see it. Hebrews chapter 3. Move your Bible to the left. You are in Jude. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to see the reason why God did this. Hebrews 3, and I'm going to read for you verse 15. All right. To 19. Here it is. Jude said, God brought the people out. He saved from Pharaoh. And then he destroyed them. Now here it is. Verse 15 on the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? And the word he should be in capital is God. Was it not with them that has sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them, they had the wrong theology. No. To them, they were Catholics. No. To them that were Protestant. No. To them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelievable. God made a promise and he fulfilled the promise. Now let me show you the promise. It's in the book of Joshua. Go back to the Bible, and after you finish with the Pentateuch, go to, with Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is the book that followed, the book of Deuteronomy. So you have five books. Okay, in Hebrew it's called the Law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. And then I'm going to read for you the promise, verses 1 to 9. This sermon is going to be with a lot of scriptures so that you know what you're getting into. Now remember, God's making a serious accusation. I liberated these people. I blessed these people. I gave them miracles after miracle, and I killed them. You want to know why? All right? Hebrews told us because of unbelief. Well, here it is. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, and to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now that's God's promise. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall your coast be. There shall no any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And now God knows that Joshua is a man. And isn't no, so I read some books, I can't believe it. They said Joshua was a coward man. No, no. Joshua was a man like you and me. And sometimes we believe the Bible, and sometimes we don't. Now that's a big promise. You are in Mount Pisgah. And you are across the Jordan. You can see the land of Israel from Mount Pisgah. And God is saying, not only what you see, but from the Euphrates to the end, that will be yours. You have to believe it. And so look at verse 6. Be a strong of good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for any inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. See, God saying to Joshua, believe me what I said, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever you go. People of God, this is the key. When you live in any land in the world, you just don't move to the left or to the right. You do what the word of God said. Doesn't matter if you live in Philippines or in Argentina or in America. You will prosper. Wherever you go, you will prosper. But you have to do what God said. Now, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid. In other words, I told you, believe what I said. Three times God said that. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever you go. You know, I told my wife with these issues of homosexuality and marriage and all this, I will keep my mouth shut. But God said, no, you don't. So I was enjoying my coffee in McDonald's, and a big guy came in and said, now you bastard, tell me, is marriage man with man, women with women, right or wrong? I look up, say, sit down, sit down. And I keep on reading myself. I tell you, I believe it's okay, he said. So I said, wait here. I went to my car. He thought maybe I want to get a gun or something. So I went to my car, and I brought the gun. I brought the Bible. So if you have time, I'm going to read for an hour the book of Leviticus. And you tell me what the Bible said. Here's the key, brother. He's a member of a local church here in town. That's what he said. I care less of what the Bible said. I want your opinion. I said, my opinion is as good as yours. I want to read the opinion of the Bible. And so, did God fulfill the promise to Israel? He promised Israel that he will give the land. That he did? Some people say, no, yes, he did. Go to Joshua 21. And look at what happened in Joshua 21 and verse 43. You think that God is a man that will not fulfill his word? Remember what he said to Joshua. From Euphrates all the way to the end. Beersheba, remember? All the way to the end. That's yours. All the way from the blessed Jordan, as my grandma said, to the great river. That's the ocean. That's the Mediterranean Ocean. All the way is yours. Did God give it to them? Look at verse 43, Joshua 21. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. and they possess it and dwell therein. God did not fail. But I'm sorry to say, there's about 6 million of them never make it because they believe not. Their children make it, but the parents die. And the first doubt was when they send the spies, remember? They send the spies, and two came back and said, oh, there is giants and there is problems. Boy, but the grapes are big like this and the olives big like that. He said, that's the land we need to go. Don't worry about it. But ten say, oh, no, there are big people. There's difficulties. There's difficulties in any land you go. Any place. I'm enjoying receiving backing information from Jacqueline in Argentina, you know, and she's working and she's taking the bus and she's taking the subway and she's walking on the street and she's dealing with Secretary of Agriculture and dealing with these people. You know, she's going to be a reporter one day. And I said, what so far? What is your criteria of Argentina? There are two things wrong, he said. For example, you are no more allowed to have 20 pesos in your pocket by the government. One day you will come here. And they give you 20 pesos and 1 peso gold money. And that's your bus, to take the bus a day. And you cannot do anything more than what the government will tell you to work. I was rebellious until they told me, just do what the country said. Then you cannot get the money anyplace. Only 2 or 3 banks give you the money, and you have to make a line of 1 hour waiting for 20 pesos, she said. You know, that ridiculous. I started talking to the people. She said, no, don't do that. You're going to go to jail. But finally, she found a place that in 5 minutes she can get the change. And you travel 1 week with that money. It's very cheap. What it is about 25 American cents for 1 week traveling. All right? And I said, what do you think? She said, well, and then she said, you outside and the air is thick with pollution. Your dress, everything becomes black because of the oil from the trucks and from the buses and so on. And it's different. So I never thought that way. I said, not wrong, it's different. He said, oh, I'm going to hold to that word. The country is different. It's not wrong. It's different. That's all. And my friend, wherever you go, you're going to have difficulty, but you have to work if you want to feed yourself. You have to do things. Things are going to be tough. And God may destroy those who did not believe, because that's his commitment. Therefore, the biblical admonition is this. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 is the biblical admonition about this. Wherefore, is the scripture, let him that think he is standeth, take heed lest he fall. In other words, if you think you are a believer, you better exhibit your life of believing, otherwise you fall, said the scripture. And so God is not going to put up with you. He's going to give you instruction. He tells you be courageous, stand in God's instructions, do what God said. But if you disobey them, you are proving that you are a child of condemnation rather than a child of God. You have to exhibit what God said. And the Bible clearly said, he that standeth, take heed lest he fall. Be sure that you really are a child of God, that you really believe what the Bible said and you do what the Bible says. Very important. Very important. Very important. I was talking to a group of people in the East Coast who are connected to us. And one of the words they said is, Pastor, we will send a tithe to you and we shall receive one. Is that obedience? You enjoy to be a pastor, people like that. So, Pastor, don't worry. We are connected. Send us one set for the evening that we study, but we will send the tithe. And we just receive a letter. We say, this is one that will come every month. And know that encouraging. who people said, yeah, we're going to start this movement, we're going to start this church, and we're going to start it right. We're going to give God what belongs to God. Amazing. Amazing. From time to time, pastors get rewards like that, and your heart goes, I have to take more bills. Now let's take the second point, verse 6. The angel who sinned. Let's go to Jude and look at it in verse 6. Very little is known from the scripture themselves about this. And here it is, verse 6. And the angels we kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. As you know, they are three people. They are angelic beings, they are angels, and they are mankind. All right, mankind is under law. All right, angels are invisible, and so are about you. And the Bible said that these are under change. As described by Jude, they are angels who did not keep, said the scripture, their proper domain. In other words, God says, stay here, and they didn't. All right? And left their own habitation. Luke 10 explained about this. So Peter simply writes about this and said that the angels sinned. If you move your Bible a little bit to the left, in 2 Peter, in chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible said that these angels sinned and do not develop any more about it. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 said, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell. And God is more in detail here in the book of Jude, who said, have reserved them an everlasting change under darkness. So, what is clear about these angels is their condemnation. God has them in everlasting chains and the darkness for their judgment of the great day. That means the last day of the world. And so, Peter said they were cast them down to hell waiting for the final judgment. So God has not put up with Israel, their beloved. God has not put up with angels who disobey God. God said the set of angels will be here and the other set of angels will be here and they disobey. God punished them quickly. Now, the point is this, God is prepared to render everlasting punishment to the wicked. God is not going to put up with, this is my right, and you think we are all equal, and God is only one thing. This is what I said, and you do what I said, no questions about it. This is my way of salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. Jesus was sinless. And he came because there was no mankind available. And so therefore, Jesus came and died for your sins. There is no other way of salvation. What man does, created 20 ways of salvation, call it religion. Oh, if you do good works, you can be saved. Oh, if you give money, you can be saved. Oh, if you walk from here to New York, you can be saved. All these baloney, when God said, this is the way, you have to believe. I guess it's more easy to do than to believe. Now, another example that God's not playing around is verse 7 in Jude. Verse 7 talks about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me read it for you. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves of it to fornication and going after a strange flesh, that sexual immorality, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. I said to in McDonald's, I said, a man laying with a man, a woman with a woman, is sexual immorality. And somebody asked me, he was buying a hamburger, turned around and said, according to what law? So here it is, the Bible. Oh, but we are in America. We do not believe the Bible. I said, you say it, sir. You say, that's what I'm here. I'm a foreigner. I want to speak to you. No, no, I don't want to hear it. See, I saw it all coming down on the 60s. I saw it coming down. I told my wife, I don't know if I want to see that, but I want to see America denying the Lord. and you deny the Lord. Not by, the churches are full around here. There are churches in 2,000 people. There are churches in 800 people. But they do, as long as you do not enforce the Bible, they all go to church. Now here is the judgment against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is completely described right here in Genesis. You don't have to guess. Go with me to Genesis chapter 19, please. And let me read it for you, verse 24 to 28. Genesis 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained in Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward the Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Whatever God said, God's going to do it. Now, why this terrible judgment? Why God did this? Well, the Lord said it was because their sin is very grievous. If you look in chapter 18, in the same book of Genesis, and in verse 18:20, see, and the Lord said, because their cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. In other words, a sexual immorality is very grievous. It's not just something, you know, what we vote and what the judges have accord, not for the marriage of a man with a man and a woman with a woman. I think they are save us for 2 years or so, give us a window of salvation. But once a country commit that sexual immorality, the country is out of God's hand and is out of God's planet. Amen. That's not discrimination. That's announcing you what the Bible says. Jude said this, in similar manner, these, remember? In other words, similar to the angels who sin. They were giving themselves to immorality. Go back to Genesis chapter 19 and look in verse 4 to 11. Look at what they did. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may have sexual intercourse with them. Look it. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. You see, that was the heart of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if America want to go in that way, America is heading on for Sodom and Gomorrah. That's it. There is not absolutely compassion about this. This is a defiance against God. Genesis 1:26 said that God made man, male and female, he made it. And you cannot go against this. Now, Peter and Jude made the point that Sodom and Gomorrah are examples. Look, go with me to 2 Peter, please. Again, they go together in this. 2 Peter chapter 2. And look with me in verse 6 of 2 Peter. And the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those after that after should live ungodly. In other words, Sodom and Gomorrah is not just history. It is a sign. It's a big sign saying, America, watch out. Because if you disregard my law, this is your heading on. Peter, tell us are an example. And if you go again to Jude and in verse 7, the Bible says that even Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over fornication and going after sexual immorality, are set for an example. Now, Peter say it, Jude say it, there is no compassion for sin. There is compassion for man, but I had no compassion for sin. And so we need to oppose anything that will destroy our nation. I told my wife watching the news, America is heading on for destruction. Not because of money. Money is someplace, you know. 2 years ago, May, it had plenty of money. On August, there was no more money. Somebody have it someplace. I know how Americans play. Somebody have it. Look at the oil. It was 185, now it's 3. America play with that. We survive that. But we will not survive if disobeying God, morally speaking. If we do a sexual immorality and we approve it by law, then we are gone. And this is what God said. So in light of this, somebody asked me a question that is my conclusion. Somebody said, okay, you, he said, you know, tell me, what's the solution? Oh, I'm glad. Here it is, Romans chapter 12. Here's the solution. For us Christians, Romans, remember the Acts, and then you get Romans chapter 12. And look at in verse 2, Romans chapter 12, in verse 2. The Bible said, be no conformed to this world. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. And how you do that? The Bible tells you. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I ask myself, how do you renew your mind? Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells you how to renew your mind. All right? Here's what it is. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what the Bible says, think on these things. Philippians 4 and verse 8, think. Look at the end of the verse. Think of these things. If you are in your computer and you are watching pornography, that is not going to renew your mind. If whatever you are, you have to think. Is the thing I'm looking, is the thing I'm reading, is the thing I'm doing, feeding my mind with the things of God? That's very important. That's what will change you. And when God changed you, God changed the country. So I don't blame any president of the United States. I blame ourselves. We Christians, you know, when you box, you have to put your hands up. Otherwise, your face will be a little mirror. All right? You cover with your left, you cover with your hand, remember? You never put your hand down. One is always covering your face. We have put down the Bible. No more reading in our home. No more reading personally. No more Bibles in the pews in the church. No more Bibles preaching. And our guards are down. And so morality of the world have come on the television to tell you what is right and what is wrong. Wake up, America. Let us stand. Renew your mind in the power of God, and America will be saved. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are not fooling around when we play with our life. You're not fooling around when man is playing with the design of God. You have designed us as men and women. And when we play around with your design, God, you do not wait too long until you destroy us. And eventually it will be eternal destruction. Lord, I pray, have mercy on America. Have mercy on your church, that the pastors may turn to your Bible and teach the truth of God. Otherwise, those who believe not will perish like the others. And it is our goal that they will not perish, but that they will believe you and be saved. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Mercy and pardon.